हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। ओके सो देन कंटिन्यूइंग विथ द विवाह कर्म देन वी आर कमिंग टू द पॉइंट वेयर द ब्राइड एंड ग्रूम द हैंड्स हैव बीन प्लेस्ड टुगेदर। वी हैव टाइड विद द सैंडलवुड पेस्ट एंड टाइड विद द Kusa and garlands, and now the father pours the water and recites the Mangalacharan, and then he makes the point, may Radha and Krishna personally give the bride named and identified with the ancestors, equipped with cloth and ornaments, healthy of age and fixed residence, to the groomed named identified by his father's ancestors. At this time, as the Vaishnavas and the fire as witness. Then the father saying this, now we'll pour the water over both the hands. Having made that sankalpa, then that's the whole point. Then it's done like that. So at this point, then she is given, and the groom says, Om Swasti, let there be auspice. He accepts. So then it's done. So therefore, he's accepted him as the proper person. Then the girl is accepted by giving the garland. And now the father is done giving the girl, and then it's here. So we see these points being made. You know, Radha gave the bride name identified by the father's ancestors. In other words, one knows one's history and all that. One is that it's important, you know, I mean, technically it's devotional service, and that it doesn't have as much importance, but the importance of it is that if you know the history, you can tell if you're relatives, you know, if there's some relation. In other words, you can't have that too close of a relationship. It's always supposed to be a different gotra, you know, like that. It should always be a different gotra. So then, and then got clipped with cloth and ornaments means the father's arranging things. It's not coming without. Healthy, you know, means the father's been taking care and all that like that. Of age means he's not, you know, too young or too old, fixed residence, you know, so she's the father. Steady in his service. And oh, then after that, then we get into the next mantras that they're standing there like this, you know, so they're still standing facing each other with their hands tied and all that. Now the groom says, he does, how you say? There's two Gayatris, Narayan Gayatri and Trilokya Mohan Gayatri, Vishnu Gayatri. We know him as the Lord of the material energy, Narayana, and we meditate on him as one who resides everywhere. Vasudeva, let all-pervading Lord Vishnu inspire us in that. And then the next one, we know him as the enchanter of the three worlds and meditate upon him as the most attractive one, let all-pervading Lord Vishnu inspire us in that. So these two Gayatris then, being chanted here, acknowledging how everything is Krishna, you know, so it's like in the Chaturshloki, the Bhagavatam, where everything is Krishna. And so you see is all that, it means that he is the Lord of the material energy, and as Vasudev, he controls that material energy. And we see he's the enchanter that is there. So now, naturally, then seeing that, we see is then how our situation in the material world, our dealings in the material world, our attractions within the material world, we'll see them all in relationship with Vishnu and try to do them all in relation to Vishnu for his satisfaction, right? So that's where the devotional element comes in. Because even if not, it is not on the devotional platform, at least you're acknowledging that whatever is here and of whatever is of value in the material world, And that's actually comes so acknowledging that, then at least you should be following his laws. But as the Bodhisattva, naturally, then we're doing that to please the Lord. So this whole arrangements being made now in marriage is meant for the basis of how to engage your conditioning in devotional service and the Lord's service. So on one's own, once you know, it's going, you know, one's been trained and the basic things are there, but it's not as comfortable as if you have a partner. And so therefore, that as the partner, you're continuing the same thing. So what's been added is the partnership in devotional service, right? And so then naturally in that, then with the family and that, then there's the you know, expansion of the family, you know, and the facilities for doing that and all these elements like that. But it's not about, that's the main thing is all these are just elements of how to serve the Lord, not some other element aspect, right? That's the point. Then you should meditate upon Radha and Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then the mantra, this bride belongs to Prajapati Vishnu. In other words, the girl belongs to Vishnu. It's not his, it's she belongs to Vishnu. So that means Vishnu is everything. Everything is seen there. The attraction is all him. He's in control of that Vishnu. And so therefore, then whatever is all connected with that, this girl belongs to Vishnu. You should be seeing all these aspects and the girl in the context of Lord Vishnu, right? And then, so this is after the girl's been given, these are the first mantras. We'll get into other mantras later, you know, technical aspects, but you see is the first mantras are specifically directly about the principles of the philosophy, the Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana, how it works, and then how it applies within the in their situation. So not taking it a step further. Then it says, the groom touches the bride's heart, you should recite the Kama Stuti. Now, touching the heart means the chitta, right? The chitta means where super soul sits, where the soul sits, where the life airs sit, and like that. The mind, intelligent, false ego, that's here in the middle, right? We're not talking about the mechanical pump, the heart. We're talking about the heart, where the loop, because we say heart, my heart, then it means where I am and where I'm feeling and experiencing, and that's here. Does that make sense? So that's an important thing. So much of the times, then, yeah. So then the Kama Stuti, then he's saying, who has given this heart and to whom? Love has given unto love. Love is the giver. Love is the receiver. Love is enter the ocean of love. I receive you through love. Oh, love, this heart is yours, right? So now one might think this is also a sentimental aspect, but it's bringing the practical points down to how they're going to interact based on that everything is Krishna, everything of value is Krishna, right? So therefore, that attraction we have and everything is still Krishna, and that's supposed to be used for pleasing Krishna, right? And so here is that we're talking about love coming from love and going to love, right? So that means who is actually this love, right? The attachment, the attraction, all these things that Krishna has been pointed out before, that potency of attachment and all these things are coming from him. It's not coming from somewhere else, right? So it's not that, oh, it's because it's me, I'm, you know, have that love and you have that love. And so therefore it's there. And then I give up that love, it's gone. Because the whole point is here, this is going to flow between these two persons from Krishna back to Krishna. That means if it's from Krishna, it means the attraction, everything I have, everything I'm doing, coming from Krishna, belonging to Krishna, must be engaged in his service. Through the medium, you know, through the consideration, the medium of the husband or wife, whoever it's is the partner, and then from that it's going to go back to Krishna. So, in other words, the opportunities for service to Krishna are coming from Krishna, and then that service is being done to please Krishna. So, therefore, the interaction between the husband and wife, the basis is how it relates to serving Krishna. This makes sense. So this is the main mantras within the wedding ceremony here. The father should then say, "May Radha and Krishna on this day, to firmly establish this act of bestowal, present a suitable dowry of valuable items in remembrance of Radha and Krishna to the groom through the agency of the father." Right? So then by Krishna's grace, then some nice gifts and all that have been given because it's that social environment. You poured the water, that does the technical thing that you've given. But now then naturally then there's always that interaction, reciprocation, so then something nice is given. And the groom says, "Om Swasti, may auspiciousness reign." Right? Like that. Then he should recite the Kama Stuti again. Okay. And that, who is given this heart and to whom? Love is given unto love. Love is the giver. Love is the receiver. Love has entered the ocean of love. I receive you through love. Oh, love, this heart is yours. Then again, we go, we know him as the Lord of the material energy, Narayan, and we meditate on him, the one who resides everywhere. Vasudeva, let all pervading Vishnu inspire us in that. And then the next Gayatri, we know him as the enchanter of the three worlds and meditate upon him as the most attractive one. Let all-pervading Lord Vishnu inspire us in that. You should then meditate on Radha Krishna, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. You should meditate on his favorite deity's name, such as Narayana, you know. And at this time, the father can give a dowry and gifts to the deity and the Vaishnavas, right? So he's giving some nice thing to the deities. He's giving nice thing to, he's given something for the groom, right? You know, he comes and presents it, chants the mantra. He doesn't, the groom's not taking it, because his hand is busy, it's tied to his the bride's hand. And then he gives something to the deity, he gives something to the Vaishnavas. Then with this, then it's all yeah, everybody's been there, because it mentions witness, you know, everybody's the cow, the Lord, the devotees. Mentioned there, right? It was at this place where Shaligram Shila, the cow, the Brahmana, Vaishnava, and fire, you know, Dakshinta to Lord and the Vaishnava, so everybody's been given too. So it's important to note that this element of the Dakshin, this is something that is, technically speaking, would be the girls. You know, in a context that, you know, in that kind of form, that then she has things that are there, but it will be there, you know, to be seen and taken care of and protected by the husband, but it's the wife's, right? This modern idea that it's the dakshin is something for the husband, and then they get the dakshin, and if the, you know, they're not pleased, they get rid of the wife and they get a new wife so they can get another one. That's completely bogus. This is the aspect where he gives, like you see in the Krishna book. Then it mentions about the dowry that what do you call it? Devahuti's father gave. And so then so many maid servants and so many other things, and you know, all kinds of facilities that are there for the home. That will be managed by the wife, but the home is considered the husband's home. So in this way, it's part of that, but so therefore it's managed, and you know, it maybe have the aspect of protected by the husband, but generally speaking, depending on what's the nature of it, it's managed by the wife, because that's how it is. The husband protects the home, but it's managed by the wife. You know, he brings facilities for eating, and the wife then arranges it and cooks it. Does that make sense? So you see, is that dynamic is there? It's not his. He does his aspect in it. She does hers, and this is the aspect that she's coming with all these things to make her life nice. It's not about the husband taking it, doing what he wants with it. So in the Western thing, we generally don't have to worry because generally nothing's there. There is no such thing as a dakshin or anything like that. But when you're dealing with the Indian community or some other communities, then something is there. And so then now the modern thing is that the husband and the husband's family thinks it's theirs when it's actually the girl, it's hers. And if something doesn't work out or something, she dies or anything, it goes to her daughter if it's there, not to the son, to the daughter. And if it doesn't, it goes back to her mother. You know, and if that doesn't work, then it can be considered some other female. It doesn't go to the family. It doesn't go to the husband. It's hers. So that's the whole point. The wealth of women is not ever taken by the men. The women use it, you know, in relationship to the, to, you know, family members and friends and things like that. But the point is it's not that he can say, well, you have to do this, or you have to pay for this. So he's paying, and then she wants to also. So it's natural that it's going to be a nice balance. If there's a nice relationship, it'll be a nice balance. Yes, no. Yeah. Okay. Then next is the father or a married woman with a son. Okay, so it can be either one. So it's that saying that's that married woman with a son who tied the hands before, she can also do this, or you can have another one, or the father can do it. Just a matter of who's there or what's the mood. We'll tie the upper cloth of the groom and the veil of the bride with a cloth containing haritaki, betel nut, gandha, flowers, tulsi, kumkum, and turmeric, right? So you have a little cloth, right? So it says here, tie the upper cloth of the groom, right, and the veil of the bride with the cloth containing these things. So it's not that their cloth, it's a separate cloth. So you take a cloth, you put the down, you put all those nice things in there, you know, not a whole too much, just, you know, enough to properly represent, you know, and then it's rolled up nicely and tied so that that middle portion is there and the ends are sticking out. Then he has a chadar, you know, that he has on his shoulder, you tie it to the corner of that. And then the veil that she has, you know, it can be that one that she was using before or something like that. Then it can be, that one can be used. And, or it can be to her cloth like that. And so then it'll tie there. You just have to see, it depends on the arrangement of how the dressing is there. So that way, then it can also be if the husband has to go for something, the cloth is still tied. You know, you can get the chadar. But otherwise, generally for the ceremony and all that, they go around together, everything tied together like that. So that's the point. I remember, yeah, okay. Then, once that's tied, then the following shloka should be recited. Just as Lakshmi, Narayana, Revati, and Balarama, Sita and Rama, Durga and Shiva, Devahuti and Kardama, Sachi and Indra, Satarupa and Manu, Renuka and Jamadagni, Ahalya and Gotama, Devaki and Vasudev, Mandodari and Ravana, Jashoda and Nanda, Draupadi and the Pandavas, Taravali and Bhubuja, Damayanti and Nala, and Shri Radha Krishna. May these two people tie the knot. Just as they have all done in the past, they have all gone through this ceremony like this, they've all done that, and they're known here as being together, may things work like that, right? Then having done that, now, you know, this part of the wedding is done, the kanyadan is done. So now, as we see, is that in here is the shaligram, he stays, or the deities stay. You had the cow, the brahmanas, the brahmana means he's the priest, the Vaishnavas, and the fire as witness. Now we see is carrying on the shaligram, the brahmana, the priest, the Vaishnava, and the fire, you know, to stay for the rest of the ceremony. The cow is not necessary to be there for the rest of the ceremony. So now you have gomoksha, where the cow is then has been tied over on that northern side. So now the cow will be released and, you know, taken back to wherever they are so they can eat nicely and everything. And so interesting. It's just funny because they give the list of items needed for this. It says here, items needed, you know, or colon, then number one, a cow. And then that's it. Yes. Okay, a cow should be presented to the groom. A barber should explain. Gao, gao means the cow has been brought in before and tied there. And then a barber should explain, here is a cow. Right? So this barber, it's not any barber. This barber is the family barber, or you could say the barber of the groom. Because it said in Manu that the barber and the person who plows your fields, like let's say, whoever it is, but in this case, you're taking it that the person who plows the fields, it's your fields, but they do the plowing, then the relationship between them is very close, right? So the barber, and this is the only, and they're both Shudras, but these are the only Shudras that a Brahmin can actually eat in their house. Right? Others, if they're not Brahmins, they don't eat in their house. So right, unless there's some formal arrangement and things like that, but they don't sit and just and not being the Brahmins, just being like family. They come sit with them, eat and talk and with the family and like that. Only these two, the barber and the farmer. Means that who's farming your land for you, like that. And you see the two things here. One, they're taking care, they're close, they're doing things like that. You don't get much closer relationship with the barber, like that. And so then he's part of the wedding ceremony to make sure he's there. In other words, he's not left out of this whole thing. So the Vedic thing considers everybody, and who's there, right? So naturally then the married woman, the children will be somebody who's very important to you in your life, like that. Generally those things could be either from either side, but it could be from the girl's side, especially if it's the one tying the knot and everything. But there might be also be the one from the boy's side if they want to have. So one's tying the hands together, one's tying the cloth together. These are the considerations how to bring these individuals in. The groom should apply. Free the cow from the ropes of Varuna. Call the name of he who opposes. Dismiss him on behalf of, and it mentions the father. Let the cow be free. Let her eat grass and drink water. Right? So then the whole point is this, the cows is naturally, it should be a nice arrangement for the cows. Because if you're going to grihastha life, then cows are very much a part of the grihastha life, because previously all grihasthas had cows. Right? So that means the lifestyle has to be such that you can have cows. This modern thing with the apartments and living like termites then doesn't really have a good situation for cows. But even if they had like that, so okay, all these people would be living in houses, right? And there's not enough area. Everybody has a little bit of land. It's not really enough to take care of cows. Now, I'll take all those people, stuff them into an apartment building in a small place. All the rest of that land then now becomes the place for doing farming and taking care of the cows. Not that, oh, now we can put in more high rises. No, whatever the footprint was of the amount of people that would live in homes like that, that area is the area for those people that will live in that high rise. So the bigger the high rise, the bigger the land that goes with it. So you can't get out of the point. If you're keeping everybody's having cow, then you can't get out of that. These have to be the considerations. But nowadays they're not worried about these things. So then they go beyond and make a hellish situation. But if not, you would have this, you have this crazy building right in the middle, very tall. Then around it would be trees and gardens and an area for growing things and keeping cows and all that kind of stuff like that. And you'd also have places for laborers to do their work and keep your car and all those things like that. It would be your private little area like that. And then there can be the next one. So before it would be there'd be one palace like that and one family would live in it, but then they would have all of their servants and everything like this. And now it's you got people who doesn't necessarily have much servants, and then they have a smaller amount of area, but it's the same building, and so it's owned by so many of them rather than one of them. Okay. While the cow is released, the groom will say, The cow is the mother of the Rudras, the daughter of the Vasus. She is the sister of the Adityas, the source of nectar. To him who understands, I say, do not kill the sinless cow, Aditi. Right? The sister of the Adityas, right? So the cow should always be protected. Therefore, it's part of the marriage ceremony, right? And it's because you'll see later on, whenever it's talking about prosperity, cows are always mentioned like that. So this whole point, mother of the Rudras, right? The daughter of the Vasus, the sister of the Adityas. So she's very much part of this whole, the whole universal scene and of human life and of especially Brahminical life and worship of the deities. The cow is then released. In time. Okay. Then Achudravachana, then the father then recites, whatever breach of rules, lack of ingredients or ceremony there has been in the bestowal of the bride, let that be overlooked by the mercy of Krishna and his associates. Then, to alleviate any fault which may have been committed in the ceremony by bestowing the bride, I now perform remembrance of Vishnu, right? So it may be over him, but it's done by remembering the Lord. That's the method. The father should recite Mangalacharan and the Maha Mantra, followed by Kirtan and offering obeisance to the spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, Lord Chaitanya, and the deities. Mentions here Gandharvika, Giridhari, because originally then this would have been published by the Gaudiya Math, so their main deities at the at Rajapatan would have, are Gandharvika, Giridhari. So they were the central deities of the whole Gaudiya Math. So then we see is that in Mangalaching in that Kirtan offering spirit, so it can then seem that it can be, this part can end here depending upon how it goes and all that. So this can be done at one part. Then you're going to have another part done later, or it can just that there's some kirtan and all that, you're making ready for the next, and then we'll start the main part with the yajna, right? So this is the sampradanam, the giving away the girl, and then now will be the kushandika. Kushandika, then we have the establishing the pot of water, drawing the lines, expelling the impurities, purifying the lines, purifying the fire, establishing the fire, calling the fire, worship of the fire, praise of Vishnu, installing and worshiping the Brahma, the priest, placing the chara or cooked grains, prayers to the earth, respects to the fire, cleaning the area with the grass, worshiping the directions, offering 20 sticks to the fire, purifying the ghee, purifying the spoon, taking blessings for performing the sacrifice, sprinkling water around the fire, prayer to the Lord as Virupaksha, and then a silent Homa. All right? And so that's then all the preliminaries for establishing the fire. Okay.
Hare Krishna
Maharaj. So, yes.
So this part actually remains same for any kind of yajna performance, no?
Any yajna. This is how it's done. Because the point is, since you're describing, in other words, the biggest ceremony is the marriage ceremony. So describing it in here then flows very naturally. Having done that, all other ceremonies are based on having had a marriage. Right? Because further ceremonies are going to be the children. And they're growing up, right? The individual growing up. So it starts with a marriage. So unless there's a marriage, then how will there be the properly the children? And then it'll be all the samskars for them. So then all you have to do is show what's specific for that samskar. You know, in other words, the opening preliminary rites of the yajna, the closing rites of the yajna will be the same, but the middle part, that will be unique to the samskar. So in this section, we're describing the marriage. And then in the others, then it's just, it'll be the particular samskar that's there. Because this will have things before this kushandika and that. Then there'll be the technical points during the wedding. And then after the udichakarma, there's still further things with the marriage. While for most other ones, before the preliminary rites of the yajna and after the closing rites of the yajna, there's generally not any further technical elements like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but yes, it's exactly the same. But it's just described like you see in Manu, the act of charity is everybody does it, but because the charity generally will be the most, have the greatest social element, and also generally will be in the greatest volume or grandness, that will be with the grihasthas. So even though the brahmachari, he may, somebody gives him something new and he has an old one and it's still good, he might give it to another brahmachari there, but it's not like a big ceremony. He just goes over and, hey, I got a new one of these, you want this? Or someone gives him a new one, he prefers the old one, they'll go over to the brahmachari, hey, I got this new bag, can you use it? That's it. That's the ceremony. Haribao. But with a grihastha, generally, then there'll be much more, and they'll get out, and the whole thing, and like that. Does that make sense? So that kind of element, then you'll see is that it's explained in the grihastha ashram, right? And so that, but it's not that it's only exclusive to them, but just like austerities and all that, then it's explained in the context of the vanaprastha, because that's what they do. This, but everybody does austerities. And then, like the chaturmas or something like that, everybody may be doing. But the vanaprastha, since that's one of their primary things, it's explained in context of them. Or let's say for the brahmachari, he studies. And so study will be shown in the context of the brahmachari, even though the grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi are also studying. So all the principles, all the rules, everything that there is then explained in the context of who's most prominent in it. So in the same way, sense of all the samskars, is the marriage ceremony, and all other samskars are based on there having been a marriage ceremony. Therefore, then you would describe all the technical points in their fullness in this ceremony. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so it's not an arbitrary thing. It's a standard way of how the Vedic does things, because if what's done by the grihastha is there, that's everything that may be there. And then on a smaller scale that's appropriate, it may be done in the other three ashrams. Right? So that's, if you explain the biggest thing, then the smaller things then are just simplifications of that. But you see the principles, and so knowing the principles, you know how to cut it down. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so now the Krushandika. The groom should not, because that'll always mention here the groom doing these things, but actually he gets the brahmana there to do it. The All priest, right. So, yes.
We refer to this word, it's called Kushakandika, because the khandika is the aspect where you are putting the kusha around the yajna kunda.
Oh, okay.
So it's called kusha khandika, actually.
Oh, kushandika. Okay. That's interesting. From the kusha. Kusha. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. When we get to that, we'll discuss that. Because mm-hmm. that's mentioned in Purusha Shukta. It gets a shout out there.
Yeah.
I didn't really know that. That's very nice. I could put that in a footnote.
Yes.
And mentioned that, the ceremony that'll be later on, like that. The groom should now perform the Kushandika. Okay, with the long A. Okay. Kushandika writes according to the scriptural rules, either in the same place where the sampradana was performed or in the main house. Like, so that's how you can see is it can be that wherever something could be going on in the house, and they go outside for the yajna, or it can be done, the yajna can be done in the house and all the different things are there, or it's in a different room. Or so the idea is that these different sections can stand on their own and be completed at that time, especially if you're following the aspect of the 7-day wedding ceremony, then so many of these things can be done on other days. The adivas can be done at this one point. Then you have the, you know, the jnati karma being also done on a day. Then you're going to have the sampradanam and the, generally the wedding and the looking at the stars will all be in the same day, but that can be at two or three different times like that, depending upon what's happening and how the arrangements are. And so, you know, and like you said, you can either outside the house or in the main house or in the courtyard, if the main house has the courtyard. It's just, in other words, wherever there's a nice place where it can be done, you know, properly with no disturbances, no distractions. Before building the Vedi, Yajnakunda, see Appendix 1, he should clean the place of all dirt, hair, husk, charcoal, bones, gravel, anything. So in other words, anything that's not straight dirt or straight floor should be cleared away, right? He should gradually make the northern and eastern sides of the kunda level, beginning work from the southwest corner. Southwest corner, yes. And finishing in the northeast, right? Because you always go from, if you're building something, you go from southwest towards the northeast. If you're destroying something, you start from the northeast and go towards the southwest. If you do that, it'll be quick. So if you don't do it that way, it'll be slow. I have always observed that whenever we would put down a house to build, you know, whether it's bamboo or whether it's brick or, you know, whatever we're doing, that the laborers inherently by nature start in the northeast because that makes everything slow. And so instead of taking, let's say, 6 months to build, it'll take them 9 months or a year, and they're cool with that. But they don't know that they're doing that. They're just by the mode of ignorance that they represent, they just inherently do that. You have to tell them, no, start here. They'll start there. They go, okay, yeah, and they go over there and start. But by nature, they always start in that corner. Yes. Okay.
Also, Maharaj, if you start from northeast, then you're actually blocking the sun, then you can be in ignorance.
Yeah. So it works for them. They're good. Yeah. You know, so it doesn't disturb them at all, you know. And then smear the kunda and floor with cow dung and arrange for a covering canopy for the mandapa. He should purify himself according to the scriptural rules, perform achman and wear two pieces of cloth, sitting on a kusasans facing east, right? So it always has to be two pieces. So there'll be the lower and upper cloth, you know, and if he's, and, you know, and generally speaking, you have the lower cloth and you have a belt piece because that goes together. So it can be counted as two pieces because sometimes they take the upper piece and tie it around the waist. So the upper part is left uncovered while they perform the ceremony, and that way it's done. But if you're going to wear it above that, not around the waist, then there should be a one around the waist that then is part of the cloth. Because otherwise, if not, then it's not considered finished. So in the standard, they would wear, they're just wearing a chadar, you know, it might be around their neck, hanging over their shoulder, you know, so basically things are open. So then by having that belt around the waist, then it covers that top of the waist and also the upper portion of the lower, you know, your how you say, your bum. And so then, you know, everything is considered refined like that. Otherwise, you see in the modern context, but you don't use in puja, that they wear the dhoti and then a kurta. So the kurta does that point of covering that upper part of the dhoti. And then things are nice. But, you know, in the for the Brahmins and doing the rites and all that, you're not wearing the stitched cloth. So therefore, then there's the lower cloth, the belt piece, then the upper cloth. Okay, so abhyukshana patra stapana. So this is establishing the pot of water. A copper pot should be filled with water, gandha flowers, tulsi, barley, betel, haritaki, durva, white rice, turmeric, and mustard seeds. So it can be any, but generally white mustard seeds are your go-to. Ceremony, you know, because you're big in size. Then you have the little dinky ones called rye. like that. So generally the white is preferred, but if not, you can use whatever. And placed on the north side of the fire. This will be used for purifying items by sprinkling a putrana, right? So this is, you know, what we would call also the Varuna pot. So in the Vedic, it's just that pot is there. It's auspicious. It's there. Anytime something needs to be purified, you take the coconut off, you take the leaves, turn it upside down, grab them. Then you can put in the water, and then with the tips, you can sprinkle and do prokshana. So it's not an abhishek patra. It's a bhukshana. It's for prokshana, just for sprinkling. Pancharekastapana.
Maharaj?
He should fit. Yes.
So this abhukshana patra, at the end of the ceremony, we can use that water also to put on everybody's head instead of taking out the coconut from the ghatastapana, which we do, no?
Means there's a difference in the ghatastapana, the main one, and then the abhukshana patra. They're two different pots.
Yes.
Right? So for us, the Varuna pot is the abhukshana patra. Then there should be, if there's deities, you don't necessarily have to establish that other pot. Or you establish it, put it where the deities are, or like we do, like in a Mahakumbha Upakumbha, it'll be in the middle with the four Vedas and the 10 directions, like that. So, because you'll see is that in the Yagshala, you put all these different pots. So you can either have them in those places, or you can put them all together in one place, depending upon, on, you know, your situation. I prefer to put them all in one place as the Mahakumbha Upakumbha, because when you put them around, then they're generally a little bit easily accessible by others, you know, especially kids and overly enthusiastic people who want to get the Maha. And so then they just walk off with, Brahma's head, or, you know, like this. So they don't wait. They just, as soon as they see the opportunity, gone. When that's not how it works, you know, they stay until the end of the day if there's anything else going on, you know, especially if you have further yajnas later and all that, but, you know, people don't. So I prefer to put them inside where they're that and people can't get at them. Because so otherwise, then, when you put them at the doors, people are sitting around the kunda, they just reach over and grab it.
Yes.
So, or people walk and kick them over, you know, like that, yeah.
So my question is, are we supposed to install Varunadev in Abhyukshana Patra?
And that is our Abhyukshana Patra. So in other words, the Varuna Pat is the Pancharatrik equivalent. The Abhyukshana Patra is the Vedic. So it's just that we take the pot and then install Varuna. But that's not the pot that we put Guru, Gauranga, and Radha Krishna in. That's generally a different pot. Okay. That one, if you're putting that, that would be like on the eastern side of the fire. So depending, either you have it a little distance where you have like an altar thing and set up nicely there, or if you don't have that, you only have the Yajnashala, then it's put right in front and then you decorate it around there. So it's part of the, of the scene, okay. Right? Does that make sense? So it's a separate pot. So it's two pots. There's one that's there with the pujaris. You know, the Hotri and his assistants. And then there's the one that's in the front that's been doing all the puja and everything like that.
Yes, yes.
On the Mahakumbha Upakumbha. Yeah.
So generally we are doing right now is we are using the main gata pot, but we were installing the Varundev also in that one. And then now we started using the Abhyukshana Patra. And Chaitanya Mishra said about Abhyukshana Patra, then everything becomes purified because of our mantra shuddhi by the end.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's two different pots.
Yeah, I know that it's two different pots. My just clarification I want is, should we install that Varuna Deva in the Abhyukshana Patra or need not be? Because at the end we are going to offer this water to everybody also while you're doing the Shanti Dana.
Yeah, no, that's just what I'm saying is the Pancharatrik is Varuna.
Okay.
And the Vedic is Abhyukshana. So since we're, you know, we use both, and why not have Varuna there? You can also not establish Varuna there and not have a Varuna pot. It's the Abhyukshana Patra. But the point is why not have Varuna there? Because you're going to deal very nicely with it. It's always going to be dealt with in a respectful way. Also, if need be, like you want to put out the fire at the end, if you need, it's one of those situations where, you know, the nanosecond you finish the yajna, the temple president wants the whole yagshala, you know, immediately folded up and taken out as quickly as possible. You have about 37 seconds because, one, you're going to ruin the whole nice temple that he worked so hard for the last 1 year to put together and raise so much money for. And, you know, he must be, you know, that's the most important thing. And because he can't see the value that people come to an installation and they like to see the yagshala and all the rituals that have been done and that there's flowers around and leaves and the smoke coming out of the fire and it creates such a nice atmosphere. He doesn't understand this on any day of the week, any year of the universe. He just sees it as a photo thing that, you know, for the press and this and that. And so, in other words, that's what the problem if you have a Vaishya temple president. They can't understand that Brahmins come, they want to be able to see where the yajna happened. They want to be able to see that you installed the chakra and you have all the stairs going up. Well, they want to know it's all going to be done for this perfect photo op and all this and that. Yes. So that's why in the past the Brahmins took care of these things and not the Vaishyas.
You know? Yes, yes.
It's a sad thing. So the point is, you can say as well, why are you calling Vaishyas? Because you're acting like one. If you were acting like a Vaishnav, then you'd understand the whole ritual. It's all service to the Lord. So what's the problem? So if that's the thing, then make sure that there's no cars in the parking lot. Take the perfect picture. There's no people in the Prashad Hall. Get the perfect picture. That there's no people, you know, doing anything anywhere, get the perfect picture. And at the same time, why not we have a picture of your office, which probably looks like a bomb hit it. Why isn't that looking so good? That's all you have to get together. The Brahmins are getting together everything else. You know, so in other words, sorry, we've hit upon another issue that comes up when you're arranging these things. Is that the absolute lack of understanding of the Vedic culture and the appreciation of the mode of goodness and the rituals and this worship of the Lord, and it's part of the scene, and people like that. They appreciate, they come there to see it. The thing that you want, that perfect picture of Photoshop and everything, that's supposed to be done on another day, not that day. In other words, those who actually understand ritual and actually understand Brahminical culture and all these different things, they have the ceremony as the ceremony. And who they want to invite to the ceremony comes to the ceremony. And if it's some big guys, great. But it's about the ceremony, not about the big guys. Then on another day, some days later, when you can get everything cleaned up, everyone recover from you know, all the work that went in and the full time and, you know, sleepless nights and running around, you know, so, you know, ideally it's, you know, 10 to 2 weeks later or something. Then at that time you have the temple opening. Now there's no yajna kund. Everything's done nicely. All the little things that you couldn't finish anyway in time now can be finished. You know, that light switch, that light bulb, you know, all the different things like that that just didn't get done. All that can be done. The grounds can be perfect. You know, all the bricks from the yajna shop can be gotten rid of. Everything is now picture perfect. Now you bring in your press and you bring in all your big VIPs and they cut the ribbon. Now it's the temple opening. That was the deity installation. This is the temple opening. You know, so we have to appreciate that, you know, that these things then, you know, they have a mood. And so therefore it's part of the thing. So, but if sometimes you have to, you know, it's just like that, or there's no rush like that. It's just that you've done the yajna or the install in the deity initiation ceremony and that, and it's done. And now it's your business to take everything outside and that. Because if you take the fire outside as it is, some kids are going to come and poke it and with a stick and try to get fire and blow on it and take it and light other things on, you know, they're going to mess with it. So then you have the thing where you ask the fire to go. And so then the Varuna pot will be used for that, sprinkling that, or, you know, or you get water with milk in it and then sprinkle that, you know, so it depends on your size of your fire and all. Is that okay? Does that make sense?
Okay. Okay, Mark. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry about the diatribe, but out of all the installations that we ever did anywhere, only one actually understood these things and everything went nice. And we're talking about, you know, 20, 30 deity installations.
The reason why we...
And the thing is what I mean is they want the fire out immediately. I'm not joking. And they just bring in some guys. They just break it up to unceremonious. It's not like we just did worship there. And it just doesn't care to them. To them, it's simply a prestigious aspect that we did a big yagya. We did this. We did that. But as soon as it's done, it's just garbage. So these things are a problem. Yes, sorry, you were saying?
The recent one which we did, yagya, it stayed for a week. After we
means you can also have is that because it's going to be there, is then they can have the Brahmins do Nitya Homa every day or twice a day, and then the different people come and then they take darshan and all that.
Yeah.
And it's that you can make it into a nice thing, take advantage. What I'm talking about is people that
yes,
come
I understand, Maharaj.
From a background where rituals and that weren't part of their life. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one, the West, they don't know, but generally if you tell them that they're a little bit more into it, you know, and that, but if in India, they're from a particular background where these things aren't part of their life, you know, then, yeah, they can have these weirdo ideas on what the people want to see. Okay. Okay. So Pancharekastapana, drawing the lines in the kunda. Right, he should face east on the west side of the fire pit, right? Because that's where the potri will sit. Placing the right knee on the ground and placing the left hand on the ground with palm up while holding a kusha glass blade of one pradesha. That's like this big. Means, in other words, it says approximate because it's depending on the individual. So when you take your hand, you know, and extend your thumb and your finger, what is that length? That's a pradesha. Right, it's also half a hand, because like you have your hand, you know, from your elbow, like that. You see, then it goes for the, like that. Does that make sense? So that's a half hand. So that's 12 fingers, right? Does that make sense? So if you have four here, four like that. So that's what you use, prediction. Taking another kuskarese with the right hand, you should draw on the south side of the kunda a line of one pradesha long and pointing east. While meditating on the personality of the earth, you should say, "O line, you are earth, yellow in color." Right? So you'll draw the one line, going, what do you say? South side of the kunda and pointing east. And then from there, he'll draw the next line. And then from there, he'll draw out from there. From the base of the first line, you should draw a second line, 21 fingers long, pointing towards the north while meditating on the cow. O line, you are the cow, reddish in color. Parallel to the first line, but 7 fingers to its left, right? So 7 fingers means like 4 and 3, like that, you know? Or you can do 6 and 1, like that. You know, whatever is the way to measure it. Then he should draw... the next line, O line, you are Yamuna, black in color. Parallel to the third line at a distance of 7 fingers, he should draw a fourth line starting from the second line in the eastern direction, one pradesh long while meditating on Lakshmi. O line, you are Shri, golden in color. At a distance of 7 fingers from the last line, parallel to it, he should draw a fifth line of one pradesh eastern direction meditating on Saraswati. You should say, O line, you are Saraswati, white in color, right? So you have the 21-inch line, and it has the original first line of one pradesh. Then 21 divided by 7, right? You know, means you have 3 sections, but you have the line at the end and the 2 in the middle, so you end up with 4 lines, right? So then the first line, the first of the 4, and then the long line. So the first one is the earth. Next line is the cow. Next line is Yamuna. Next line is Sri. And next line is Saraswati. Right? Does that make sense? So then go ahead.
Yeah, Maharaj. Sometimes we do the Goloka Mandala as well, no?
See, this is the Vedic. The Vedic is you do this. The Goloka Mandala, these mandalas, these are Pancharatric.
Okay.
So generally speaking, we're using a combination. Because
okay.
Vedic is just Vedic, you know? And Tantric is just Tantric, and Pancharatric is a combination of Vedic with the Tantric. So we're using a combination. So where we have these nice things is where, you know, you have Radha and Krishna and all these of Korma and all. So we generally tend to do those. But, you know, since the Golok Yantra is there, then you could do this. I mean, you could do this first and then put these on top like that.
Okay.
But then, you know, it's a matter of we generally prefer the Yantras, and so we don't generally use this one. But if you're just doing a very simple yajna, you know, you don't have time to draw all those different things, you can just do this one. But generally, we just do a line drawing of the Golok Yantra and that's it. Because much of the time, we set up the yajna first, the fire first, and then we light it. Because in this way, then you're putting one thing and then starting and all this and that. And you can build it up. So one is, if you're good at building, then, you know, fairly short time, within a few minutes, 5 minutes, then you'll have a nice fire. But if not, then, you know, things don't go as well. So we generally set it up, you know, and then start the fire, you know, start the, you know, you put the biggest ones at the bottom, the little ones at the top, and then you start the fire, and then those burn down, and then you just keep adding. So we're using that combination of the two.
Yes.
So they're both correct. They're both correct. It's not that one's right and one's not. It's just that since the yajna itself is a Vedic thing, then we're using that. But where the Pancharatric elements cross and they have their natural position, we generally tend to deal with them from the Pancharatric context. So it's not that we're ignoring the lines. We're just doing it in a different way. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
And how are we on time? Okay, 2 minutes. So, Utkara Nirasana, expelling the impurities. He should take a pinch of ursh from each line of the thumb and ring finger of the right hand and throw out the dirt from the kunda to a distance of one aratni. That's from the elbow to the tip of the little finger in the northeast direction. Saying, the depleter of fortune has been thrown out and destroyed, right? So that's taken from each of the lines, and then that's thrown in that direction. Then, Reka Bhukshana, taking water from the Bhukshana Patra, he should sprinkle on the lines, you know, so there's no mantra. Then, Agni Samskar, from the... somebody's Hari Bowling?
I think Maharaj.
Okay. Agni Samskar, from the fire which is kindled. Then fire can either be started by mantra, churned from the Aratni wood with proper concentration, started from sunlight by a magnifying glass focused on camphor, placed on a bell metal plate, brought from a lamp in the deity room, or for Brahmana's house, meaning from his daily household yajna. None of the above menses are practical. Then one can use matches like that, and then, you know, that point purifies it, right? But not yet placed in the pit, he should take one burning stick and cast it in the southwestern direction to expel the inauspicious elements of fire. So from the lines, it's gone to the northeast, and then this is going to the southwest. And so then he is saying here, I cast in a suspicious fire in charge of burning corpse. May those who oppose then, because all fires are in the fire, you know, because all the different kinds, we only want those ones that are used for yagyas and all that, the auspicious, so the inauspicious ones for burning the bodies, those ones are cast out, like that. Then our nistapana, he should take a burning stick from the purified fire and place it on the third line, saying, Purbhuvaswa, Om, O earth, O atmosphere, O heaven, please protect me. You're right. So, you know, in other words, the Purbhuvaswa, we be protected. And so now the fire has been established, right? And so on Monday, we'll see how it goes through, and then the rest of the. Okay, we're good on that part.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.